second chapter of Revelation. Rick, can you hear me? Rick, can you hear me? All right. While you're opening, when I was a brand new Christian in 1987, you couldn't give me enough sermons a day. I used to listen to 5-6 sermons on the radio a day. That was not enough because I had the zeal for God. And I couldn't talk to people enough about Jesus. And whether I had a whole lot of Bible knowledge or not, and of course I didn't have any tactfulness, so I would talk to anyone whether they liked to listen to listen to me about Jesus or not. Does it mean I left my first love of Jesus Christ because I'm grown up in the Lord? No, I have not. Now I'm a little bit more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I'm more tactful. Before I left, you guys prayed for me, and I asked you to pray for me throughout the week that I may have a chance to witness to somebody. I flew from Tucson to LAX in Southwest Airlines. The stewardess tells you, if you like to smoke, you can step out in the wings. If you can light them, you can smoke them. I like the Southwest anyway. No, I don't get paid by Southwest. Anyway, in the airplane, I sat next to a couple of teenagers, brothers and sisters. And this gal was crying, so I asked her. No, I didn't ask anything. I just kept my mouth shut. And that they gave us a little tiny roast peanuts, and everybody looked for their peanut to come down to the aisle so we can have something. Anyway, we had that, and that led to another conversation. And I asked, because I see a lot of kids who are traveling all by themselves, and most likely broken family. Their mom lives here, dad lives over there, so they have to travel by themselves. I was assuming that, which is wrong. She was just scared to death to fly by her brother. So I told her, "Well, I don't have absolutely no fear of death." And she kind of looked at me, "Why?" So I said, "Because I have Jesus Christ in my heart, and I know where I'm going to be when I die, right this moment." And so I start to explain about that Jesus Christ died for her sin and on the cross. And I asked her if she go to heaven. She said, "Yeah." "Why?" "Because I'm a good person." So I said, "Okay, if that's the case, let's go over a few things. Have you ever lied?" She said, "Yes." "Have you ever hated somebody?" "Yes." "Okay, so that means you lied to God. That's against God's word. You hate somebody, that's against God's word. When we hate somebody, that's the same thing in our heart, killing somebody. So you went against God's word twice. That means you are damned to hell. However, Jesus made the bridge." You know that funny tray that coming down from the back of the seat? So I had my tray and she had her tray, and I said, "This is a chasm. Nobody can cross. Jesus made a bridge." So I made the illustration. By the end of the conversation, I asked her, "Would you like to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?" She said, "Yes." So your prayer was answered in the Southwest Airlines. And I told her that there are a group of people, about over 100 people, been praying for somebody they did not know. It turned out to be you. And she was stunned that somebody prayed for her. So you can mark up, your prayer has been answered. See, this is the kinds of things that happen. I never left my first love for Christ. But there are some people who choose, listen to me please, choose to leave first love. Can you turn me up just a tad bit, please? See, a lot of people think that they are doing just fine. However, they are not doing fine. If they spend less and less time in the Word, in the Lord, that's evidence of leaving the first love of Jesus Christ. It's not part of a Christian life to leave first love. It is not part. It's not process. You don't have to leave. You can stay on the first love and all the way until we get to heaven. It is our choice to leave. It is our choice to keep our first love of Jesus Christ. All right, let's go to the verse 1 of chapter 2 and let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and your love for us. While we were yet sinners, you loved us. We did not choose you, you chose us. You pour out your boundless love to all of us. And it is our choice to love you, to stay in the course with you. Let us learn from these people that we may stay in the course and absolutely in love with you day after day until we see you face to face. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of you might left first love of Jesus Christ and you can't go back. Why? It's one thing to lose something. That happens. It's another thing to leave something. If you leave somebody or something, you can always go back and get it. If you lose something, sometimes you cannot get it back. You follow me? You see the difference? Losing, sometimes you cannot get it back. When you leave something, you can go back. Let's start at the verse 1. To the angels of the church of Ephesus, write, these things say he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lamps. Before we go any further, let's go back to the verse 20 of chapter 1. Jesus speaking, the mystery of the seven stars of which you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lamps. The seven stars are the angels of the churches, seven churches, and the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. Angels, as I said before, the agelos, in Greek words, that means messenger, then you can translate as the pastor of the church. So seven lampstands represent the seven churches, and this is the first epistle, first letter to the one, the first church, Ephesus. That's all, folks. See what I mean? I have a jet lag. I have an excuse now. Seven letters have a similarity, exception of a few minor differences. They all have the same format. Number one is describing a description of Jesus Christ derived from the chapter 1. Number 2, we find the commendation. Number 3, rebuke. Number 4, correction. Number 5, promise. And we will follow that kind of pattern time after time. First of all, we need to check the background of Ephesus. Ephesus is a well-known city, and for the Church of Ephesus is also well-known. Why? Because as we'll find out, it had the Apostle Paul stayed there for 3 years. And Ephesus is a city that contains this temple of Diana, temple of the fertility goddess, and worshipped by the people with an immoral sexual relationship. See, if this temple of Diana is one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. There are 127 pillars. Each pillar's height is about 60 feet tall and adorned with gorgeous sculptures. So some of you guys have seen the ruins of this Diana temple. If you ever moved to the new location, and some of you moved into this Rancho Cerrito or the Green Valley area, when you move into a new location, it's hard to find the right church. You don't have to go any further. This is your right church. Sometimes you can go to a real fancy church that housing nothing more than dead congregation. And there's some churches with modest building, don't have a building like us, have a live and active congregation and following the step of Jesus Christ. So outward appearance doesn't mean anything. Just like outer appearance of an individual doesn't mean anything. So we cannot judge by the outer appearance. Ephesus is a well-known church and powerful church. Yet, there's some problem. Only head of church, Jesus Christ, can accurately evaluate each church, because not only he sees external things, but he sees internal things. As I said before, God does not see, not only see the what we do, but he also see why we do. Motives matters to him more than the result we create. G. Campbell Morgan, a great theologian, said this. I'll just read it to you. The Church of Christ persecuted has been the Church of Christ pure. The Church of Christ patronized has always been a Church of Christ impure. Did you understand what I'm saying? Church has been persecuted, it's become pure. Why? Because whenever church is persecuted, they become revitalized, they become strengthened, they become pure, because there is no one who would pretend to be Christian. To your surprise, some of you guys already know what I'm going to say. I am praying for the persecution against American Christians in this country. Why? Because this church will go strong and be pure. You might say you are total stranger. Yes, I am. But I am praying for the strong church. I don't want half-way church. I don't want half-hearted church. I don't want church with a bunch of pretenders. Ask yourself, don't raise your hand. If somebody walk into that door with a machine gun in his hand, or a lot of them, and said, if you don't deny Jesus Christ, we will kill you right on the spot, will you deny him? Will you save your skin? If you are willing to do that, think about where you're standing with Jesus Christ. If you're willing to die for Jesus Christ because he already died for you, and you know that you're going to go to heaven, you're standing in the right course. But if you're not willing to die for Jesus Christ, you might have to examine your heart. Am I radical? You bet you I am radical. Because my God is radical God. He doesn't beat around the bush. He doesn't step in somewhere in the middle. He doesn't step in the gray area. So if you're looking for gray church, it will make you feel good. You came to the wrong church. You can find many churches that has a gray area make you feel good. This is not one of them. Some of you guys have read our phone book ad. It says uncompromising. That means uncompromising. I will not beat around bush. I will not compromise the word of God to make you feel good. Well, I said what I want to say. This not only applies to the church, also it applies to every individual. So if we, as we study more, it will say, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. If you have an ear, spiritual ear, not just this physical ear, you can be deaf, you can have a complete hearing capability, but still deaf in your heart. And you can have a deaf ear, but still open heart, open spirit in your heart. So it's up to you to decide. Are you willing to hear from God? Are you willing not to hear from God? It is our choice, just like Ephesus did. They had a stellar leadership. Apostle Paul, as I said before, for 3 years, he started church and led the church. And followed by Timothy, who was pretty much adopted son of Apostle Paul. And Apostle John himself was a pastor of the Ephesus. So they were not lacking in leadership. However, let's go over this one. Sometimes we tend to idolize the pastors or the leaders so much that we no longer hear from God. We only hear from the pastors, the Bible teacher. That is wrong. Ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't matter how famous they are. It can be their TV preacher. And if they claim themselves as their God's anointed and they tell you don't challenge their authority, tell them to go take a hike. Let's go to the 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. It's a couple books before, few books before. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit. What's the next word? Test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. So everything you hear from me, you should put it against the word of God. If I lie to you, don't trust me and don't come back. Okay? Let's go back to the chapter 2 of Revelation, verse 2. I know your works, your labor, your patience, that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say that they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have the patience. Underline patience, please. This is a very important word. And have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. How gracious of the Lord, for he starts with a commendation and he tells them what kind of good things they are doing. Second thing we find is Bible tells us in the later day, in the different verses that I'll point out to you, in the later days, people will heap up teachers who will tickle their itching ears. You know what I'm talking about? The people, this is supply and demand, folks. People will heap up teachers who will tickle their ears. And you might ask, where is that in the Bible? We'll go there. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. It reads, for the time will come when they will not endure the sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves the teachers. They will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Some of these people, the listeners, the congregation, they go to these teachers who will tickle their itching ears, and they listen from one doctrine to another doctrine. For example, holy left. How many of you guys have heard of holy left garbage? And some of the people, they're howling in the middle of the service, and they acting like an animal. And that doctrine come and gone. And they go from one hyped up doctrine to another emotional hyped up doctrines. Because they were not fed by the Bible teachers from the Word, they are spiritually starving to death. And so to feel that thing, they need another emotional hype. And to generate that, of course, teachers have to come up with some weird doctrines instead of teaching the Word of God. However, the Church of Ephesus, people are discerning people. They were right on the doctrine, and they were teaching, they were thinking through and what this visiting the teachers talking about. And then they compare against the Word of God, and they rebuked some of the false teachers. Let's go back, let's go to the Ephesians chapter 4, please. Ephesians is right after Galatians. Chapter 4, verse 14. That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of the deceitful plotting. See, one of the things that people like to hear is that you will be prosper, you will have a good health. How many of you guys heard the prosperity gospel? As soon as you start to believe the word of God and you become a Christian, you will be rich. You can claim the Corvette. You can claim the three-story home on 10-acre lot and all that with the money. How many of you guys became rich with that doctrine? I haven't. If that's okay. And by the way, those the same teachers, they're asking for money right after their teaching. If they really claimed what they believe, why don't they just claim it? And they will have money. What's the matter? They don't have enough faith? Because their doctrine is truly false. They cannot do what they claimed. You might say, oh, how can you do that kind of thing? Well, we'll get there. How can you name those people? I'll get there. I'll do according to what the Word of God says. I will, otherwise, I won't do it. Verse 4 in chapter 2 in Revelation. Nevertheless, I have this against you, and you have left your first love. Now here comes rebuke. There's something dead wrong with these people. Why? What was wrong with these people? They left first love. As I said, they didn't lose the first love. They made a choice to leave the first love of Jesus Christ. It's a deliberate act. It does not happen suddenly. It doesn't happen overnight. You don't get up in the morning, you know what, I no longer love Jesus. I'm going to just study the Word of God, the text. And so I can be scholarly in the Word of God, but yet I'm not going to love Jesus Christ. That doesn't happen. It happens gradually. However, there is hope in this situation. Because you left it there, you can always go back. So if you left your first love for Jesus Christ, you can go back to where you left and start all over again. What is the first love? As I said at the beginning of the teaching, first love is that you had a zeal for God. You had, you know, you couldn't wait to talk about Jesus Christ to somebody. You couldn't have enough Bible study. Am I saying that you should do that all the time? No. How would you like to have this? I'm married to Karen for 23 years. When I met her the first time, my heart started to go like this. Whenever I see her, my mouth dried up and I couldn't eat anything because I'm not hungry. I'm just looking at her. It makes me happy. After 23 years, whenever I see her, how about if my mouth dried up and my heart beats? And my wife was like, get alive. There's more than that. So I become more mature. Our relationship becomes stronger. Do I love her? Yes, I love her with every bit of my heart. However, that doesn't mean I left my first love. See what I'm saying? Just because you become stronger and more knowledgeable in the Word of God, that doesn't mean you lost your first love. And you should lose your love. But some people choose to do that. Why? Because they get caught up in the things. When we're strong, and sometimes if we're not careful, when we're strong in the doctrines, we become callous. We become narrow-minded without thinking through. Am I saying that we should not be narrow-minded in the truth? You are absolutely right. We should be narrow-minded in the truth because truth itself is narrow-minded. However, there's some area we don't have to be narrow-minded. At the beginning of our church, I said that we will agree to disagree. But there's principles that we would not disagree because that's not something negotiable. So first love is something we have to stay on. I'm sure you've seen the couple who sit right next to each other, practically sitting on top of each other. And when you drive and you see those people, mostly in trucks, right? They're sitting like this. I thought, have you ever heard of passenger side? There's a big empty seat instead of sitting on each other's lap. But they like to sit together. And we call them lovebirds. And they drive like that. An old couple was following this couple who was sitting right next to in the cab of the truck. And the wife kind of sighed and she said, wonder what happened. We used to sit close to each other's. Why, how come we drew apart? And husband while he's driving, kind of glance over his wife. I never left this seat. I've been still sitting in this seat. See what I'm saying? We choose to draw ourselves away from the one we love. Who's that one? Jesus. What makes us do that? We come up with an excuse. Busy schedule. I don't have a time to study. I don't have a time to pray. I don't have a time to do this. I don't have a time to do that. If I'm the Holy Spirit, I can stand right in front of your face. I can find the time for you. If you have a time to wash your face, if you have a time to take a shower, if you have a time to watch TV, if you have a time to read the newspaper, you have a time to study the Word of God. You and I don't have any excuse not to have a daily devotion and daily reading the Word of God and prayer. There's 24 hours, 1440 minutes in a day. You can find 20 minutes. As a matter of fact, you don't find the 20 minutes. You make 20 minutes. If you try to find a minute, you cannot find it. But if you make a 20 minute, the rest of things will fall into the right place. I don't guarantee it. God guarantees it. Because He will make sure you get the things done. So we choose to leave the first love for Him, but we come up with our excuse. Sometimes, I said, when we stay on the doctrine so much, we become callous. It's a very important thing. Remember what happened to Mary and Martha? Jesus visited Bethany and Mary and Martha's home. Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening to Him and adoring Him. While Martha is going through the cupboard and trying to match the napkin and match the serving food. I guess you don't match it serving food. Whatever. You know, woman thing. What do I know? I just eat, right? See, she was busy serving Him. Listen carefully, please. You can serve God with all your heart without loving Him. You hear me? You can serve God with all your heart without loving Him once. It's like to you, it's nothing more than doing business, church business. There was an old lady, some of you guys heard this story before. There's one lady who's pretty much paralyzed all over her body. She cried out to God, "Lord, if I wish you can heal me, then I can serve you better." You know what God spoke to her heart? He said, "I have many servants, but I have very few friends. It is my desire, it is my prayer that all of us become friends of God. Know His heart." See, we become so maintaining separation from the false doctrine, sometimes we get to lose adoration of Jesus Christ. And labor is no substitute for the love for Christ. And the purity is no substitute for passion for Christ. All right, let's go to the verse 5. "Remember, therefore, that from the where you have fallen, and repent and do the first work, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. But this you have, that you hated these of the Nicolaitan, which I also hate." Jesus gave a stern warning against the church of Ephesus. And they took it. For a short time, they took this advice and they went back to first love. Who are these Nicolaitans? They are as a matter of fact, the Nicholas, the guy, he is one of the seven deacons appointed by the apostles in the first church, Book of Acts. He was appointed by the apostles, and yet he turned away from what he learned, and he became immoral and studying idolatry. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 15, we are going to study next week. We're going to study more about the Nicolaitans, and this is the foundation of the Gnostic, attitude. Nicolaitans, Nicholas, and N-I-K-A-O hyphen L-A-O-S means literally to conquer the people. And they are the ones who studied the clergy and the laity. They are the ones who separate, make themselves in a hierarchy level and separating themselves as a special people. I said the Nicolaitan, the Nicholas, Laos, that means it's to conquer people. It's in other words, they are trying to be lord over other people. See, I'm not supposed to be lord over you. My job is to equip you. As a pastor, I, my job is to lead you to the pasture where you can have a food, spiritual food. I'm not supposed to lord over you. And these people are the one who become like a go-between between God and the congregation. And some of you guys know what I'm talking about. These are the group, the henchmen that God, Satan used to divide the church. At the first century, persecution made the church pure. So Satan realized that he could not destroy the first century church from the outside attack. So what they did is he infiltrated the church from the inside, dividing the church by this, using the Nicolaitans. Verse 7, now we find a promise. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, and to him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the middle of the paradise of God. He who has let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Let's go over this. The angel came to a man and told him that your fiance is the one who is engaged, is pregnant by the Holy Spirit. He could say engagement is over, hasta la vista, baby, you're gone. He could do that. However, he chose to stay in the course because he had an ear to hear what the Spirit says, and he did what the Spirit says. So he became a very important part of Jesus' life. His name is Joseph. Second man that we find is Simeon, the prophet. He's been living around the temple. And he was told that he would see the Messiah, literally see the Messiah with his own eyes. So he waited. He waited. He expected he would hear the rumble of the chariot and the footstep of soldiers bring the Messiah into the temple. Yet all he heard was a crying baby and mother who is 16 years old. But he had an ear to hear. So he get to hold the Messiah in his arms. But there's another part of people. There was people who knew the word of God like the back of their hands. They knew the obscure verse in the Micah chapter 5, telling them where the Messiah would be born, in the Bethany. And they knew the Daniel chapter 9, the time of the birth of Jesus Christ. And they knew the Isaiah, that he would be born out of a virgin, and they will move to the Egypt. They knew all of this, but they would not take a 5-mile journey from Jerusalem to the Bethany to see the Messiah. It doesn't matter how much we have a Bible knowledge. If we don't carry it through, if we don't have love for Jesus Christ, we left his first love. You follow me? Let's not do that. Calvary Chapel started in the 1970s out of California. See, a lot of churches discard as hippies. They're drug addicts and long hair, and majority have doped and they have no idea what they're doing, coming in with a bare feet or sandal. And Pastor Chuck Smith embraced them. That's what we call Jesus Movement. It's one of the biggest revivals ever happened. And now there are 900 Calvary Chapels across America and around the world. Calvary Chapel is well known for the balanced study of the Word of God. Expository studies, which means going from one verse to another verse, chapter to chapter, book to book. That's what the expository study is good at. That means that you get the whole counsel of the Word of God instead of topical study. However, because we are so good at the expository study, for the love for the text, okay? Because we are so much in love for the text, we may leave the love for Jesus Christ. If Calvary Chapel is not careful, we will be just like the Church of Ephesus. What does it mean, overcoming? Overcoming the sin? No, it's not. Overcoming the coldness in our heart. going back to the first love. Let's make applications. Number one, we must examine our daily spiritual routine and put the Jesus as our first priority. We must examine our spiritual daily routine, put Jesus as a first priority. If you don't spend time in the Word, don't close your Bible yet. If you have to write it down, please write it down in the Bible. If you don't spend the time in the Word each day because you said you don't have a time, you're lying to me. You have a time. If you don't have a time for the prayer, you're lying to me. You say, well, I pray before meal. That counts, but daily prayer is important. Communing with Him. So don't tell me you don't have a time. You do have a time. It's your choice not to have a daily devotion, not to have a prayer time. Second application. We will be more sensitive to the Holy Spirit as we spend more time in the Word and prayer each day. That will lead step to the obedience to Him. You might say, no, duh. Yeah, a lot of people don't do it. Because we choose not to hear Him. How are we going to hear Him? Listen to me, please. Standing still to see what God is doing. Be still to bring our attention to God. Sit still for God to bring the benefit to us. So let me repeat it. Standing still to see what God is doing. And be still to bring our attention to God. And sit still for God to bring the benefit to us. Okay? Let's stand up and pray.